There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that is 50 days. So, joining me, as always,
there we go.
Is Lee.
Hi!
On this wonderful journey as we travel down towards the countdown that is Dragon Con in Atlanta.
Yeah.
In 6 days of wonderful con that we have.
Four. I'll give you four and a fourth. I will give you 4.25. Stop. 4.25.
Con that we have.
Do not stop. It starts around 8 p.m. because there will be some parties on Thursday night to get people in the spirit, but it is, stop it. Do not do this to me.
8 p.m. on Wednesday. Got it.
No. 8 p.m. on Wednesday is when all the directors are going, oh, shit, it's tomorrow? Really? Oh, darn, it's tomorrow?
So, Lee, when do you actually, I think we may have talked about this in the years past. I've been doing this for about 10 years, I guess. Whatever. Anyway, in the years past, though we may have talked about it, what is it your ramp up a couple of days before Dragon Con like? What do you do as a director?
Okay, so as a director, first of all, I've tried to make sure that I have clean clothes to take to the con, because that does seem to be sometimes you're all of a sudden like, oh, wow, how did I forget about clothes? So there's that. But usually I'm not that stressed. I am making sure I got my boxes out of my storage unit, because I do have one, and they have a big X-track on them, and my husband goes and gets them and brings them here in the truck. I make sure all of my friends are settled, and if we're meeting up or doing anything on Wednesday night or Thursday night, I kind of know what's going on. I'm checking in with my staff and making sure everything's okay. They know that we're going to set up Thursday night or Friday morning, and if they have any questions or there are any problems. I'm doing that as my ramp up for the most part. I've doing that and then checking in with other people. I do actually offer, if people are having some problems or need some help, maybe Thursday during the day, I am around and I can help them. And that has been used in the past and hasn't been used in the past. If I am doing a big interview, I am making sure all of my questions are good with everybody, the powers that be, and making sure we're all still on the same page with that. We think we know what's going on. We don't always know. I mean, you know, the thing, I think I've said this before with Leonard Nimoy, was that I had questions. I was ready to go. We didn't know how he wanted to do the panel. And so we had our questions. I had them approved. And we were just waiting to see, does he want to even do that? So, you know, I'm doing that a lot, too, of just being prepared and making sure I've got everything. And I do a lot of things in folders. I still am a paper person for a lot of things. But I'm also making sure my app is updated. The big thing I am checking, especially like the couple of days before the con, have my husband, have my son, have anybody else who I need to know where they are, updated their app and put me as a friend so I can find them. And mostly do that just in case something goes boom. That's really it. I'm honestly more crazy right around the last director's meeting, because if that's when we're going to get any big name guest or something like that, that they can't announce until later, or they just found out about, that's where I go, oh, and I just wait on that. And yeah, so we'll see what happens. I'm good.
We'll discuss what guests you have this year when we get.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Your actual director's interview that I do with you as though you I don't talk to you all the time. But you know it. What do you have any
clean clothes? Clean underwear.
You've been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
You know. But what if somebody's new to Dragon Con? He ham-fistedly passes.
I would say if you are new to Dragon Con, you need to be looking on the Dragon Con Facebook page, because there is an actual area for Dragon Con newbies. It is helmed by the gentleman we have on the phone right now, who is Kevin. How are you doing, Kevin?
Outstanding. I'm doing great.
Great. Yeah, that was a ham-fisted segue, John. Good job. yes, do make sure you have clean clothes, clean underwear, deodorant. Get your water bottles ready. But there's a lot about being a drag. I think it's really hard, Kevin, for me to understand that there are still newbies every year.
And there's more and more of them.
And there's more and more of them every year. And I'm just like, I thought everybody that knew about Dragon Con knew and came. And I'm not trying to be mean about that. I'm really not. I'm just like, really? Really, there are more people.
Well, those people. Okay, so like, for example, me. I've been going forever, but this is the first year that I'm bringing my family with
me. That's true, right.
So technically, they are newbies. So...
Well, and I will at some point, my niece, who has not come yet, will be coming, and she'll be a newbie. And but there are, you know, it's always just so much fun to me. And it's so fun to talk to somebody who's never been to Dragon Con. And Kevin, I know with you that, because there's a whole lot of wide-eyed wonder. And then there's a whole lot of, I've got to go to everything. So, Kevin, how do you help them get through that?
Well, before we get to that, let's set this up real quick. Kevin, for those of you that don't know, has been podcasting. If you've looked in any genre podcast, you've probably heard Kevin at least once. He's been podcasting forever. And give us a little bit of your background as far as that's concerned, and then how you got involved in the newbie wave.
Newbie wave. Well,
it's actually the podcasting and Dragon Con and the newbies. It's all tied together. As you mentioned, I've been podcasting about genre TV shows since 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of many, and even do a podcast now where we cover almost all of them that are on the air. So we have lots of listeners who, you know, big into the shows, and therefore, as I've become since I came to Con for the first time in 2005, big into conventions. So, you know, I started coming in 2005. It was the Firefly guests that came that year that kind of drew me, even though I'd heard about Con ahead of that. Had such a great experience with so many folks welcoming me. I didn't know anyone when I came to Con that first year. I came solo, was totally lost, and there were so many wonderful people who could see it in my eyes, who kind of pulled me aside and say, what are you looking to do? Where are you going? That I said, you know, we have to pay this forward. I mean, that's the way Con is, as you both know. Mm-hmm. I've been speaking on panels probably at Con since 2006, so I'm very involved there. And I talk it up on my podcasts every year. And I think it was back in 2010, 2011, I had a bunch, I'm going to say four or five listeners of the podcast or friends who said, this is the year I'm going to go, and I have all these questions, Kevin. And I realized there was no way I could answer them all, like, one at a time.
No.
Unless I took my whole summer. So I said, hey, let's set up a Facebook group. I'll put you all in it. And then as you ask questions, you can all kind of learn from each other because you're going to have similar questions. That's how it normally is.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it just started to grow and people told their friends about it. And then, you know, we started to draw in even more people who were experienced con goers. And now I think at last check, that group's up to about 2,800 members.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And as much as they're new folks, naturally, who join the group all the time, there's lots of folks who come in as newbies, and then by the next year, they're the one answering some questions, and by the year after that, they're answering more. So it's a self-sustaining group of people who want to make sure we all get the most out of Con.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's great. As you said, it's pay it forward. I mean, we all, you know, we've all been at our first Con. We've all been at our first fandom thing. And so, yeah, we do want to pay it forward because, you know, we know what we did and we know what works for us. And it might work for you and it might not. You never know. But at least you've heard about it. So that's always the important thing.
Yeah. And as we know, you know, a lot of the questions, yeah, they're repeats from the new folks who are coming for the first time, understanding the schedule and the layout of the con. And in fact, it's not a convention center and 24-hour nature. And as you said earlier, too, it is very much sensory overload when you come into this in a totally good way. I mean, I often tell folks it's kind of like Christmas morning for geeks, and it lasts from 4 days.
So four days. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, officially 4 days.
Officially, but the rest of us know it's longer.
But it's because of that that you're going to feel, and you said it, Lee, you're going to want to do everything all the time. And, you know, your body can't handle that. You do have to pace yourself. You do have to understand you're going to have Sophie's choice when you look at the schedule and see there's 30 different things to do at a certain point in time. So we try to give folks, you know, in those discussions, some realistic ways of looking at it. You know, you do have to pace yourself. You do have to be very flexible. You know, you talk about that all the time, Lee. All the directors that I know do. The schedule is so dynamic. Things can change on a dime. So don't think you're going to set it in stone a month out, a week out, even the day before. You'll have the greatest con in the world if you just learn to go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you started the Facebook group, and then it was like, what is it, 2-3 years ago that DragonCon actually made it an official part of the programming?
Yeah, what kind of happened there, as you said, the Facebook group has been running for many years. I know many of the folks and directors who are involved. We got many of the directors in the group offering advice and answers. So folks are well aware of what we were doing. It's not just me. I've got a great team of folks that kind of lead all the admin stuff and the events we do. Very recognizable names to the community. Kim McEbony, Sue mm-hmm. Kissenweather, Michael Faulkner. Couldn't do it without all of them kind of leading things. And I think it was like 3 or 4, maybe 5, Kim would know for sure, years ago, she came up with the idea of doing a tour for the newbies, a walking tour, to kind of get a feel. Since we got 5 hotels now, that's the hardest part sometimes, is just mm-hmm. realizing where things are.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we put together doing a couple of those, just us as fans, meeting up in a certain spot on Thursday afternoon to do that. And I think the first year or two we did that, we might have had 50 people. Which was kind of cool. Got a few other volunteers to help us out, break it up into groups. And then the awesome folks at Con reached out and said, you know, this is a great resource. We'll be glad to support you. Would it be, you know, of interest to you if we listed your events on the official schedule? And I was like, wow, yeah, absolutely. So they now have set aside space for us and actual rooms where we can have our meetup. As we said, we do walking and rolling, now rolling tours. On Thursday afternoon, starting at 2:30 p.m., and it's listed in the con schedule, so more folks are aware of it than just word of mouth from the groups. I think, as I said, we started out with maybe 40 or 50 people showing up for those tours, and then the first year that we had it officially listed in the schedule, I think we had over 500 people show up.
It was, yeah, I remember seeing the parade of folks on a Thursday afternoon walking around kind of a little bit in awe. But also, you know, being led, I think the one that maybe I had seen, maybe it was led by Zan, maybe it was Kim, I forget who it was, but, it was just a really cool thing to see.
Yeah. And you know, obviously we, you know, were blown away. I mean, we filled that room that we had, and I got to tell you, the four of us were kind of looking at each other like, oh, you know what just got real. Okay, we're going to be able to do this. So, yeah. I mean, the tours go out in smaller groups. Basically, we do them on Thursday afternoon between 2:30 and 5 p.m. You can come in anytime during that time if you're going to be at Con on Thursday. And we just start to break it, chunk it down into smaller groups. We've got a wonderful group of folks who volunteer to be tour guides and also we call wranglers. So there's kind of someone at the front of the group, someone at the back. There's smaller sets of people. The exact number varies a little. Kim and Sue do a lot with that, and they try to learn from year to year. But they'll go out for a walking tour of a few of the hotels, not all 5. It's not like we can cover everything. We don't want to wear them out on the first day, but we want to give them a handle on kind of where things are at. So that's probably the biggest thing at Con that we do. But also we do, and they're on the schedule, just simple newbie Q&As. Come, mm-hmm. and the four of us will be there just to answer whatever questions you might have. We do one on Thursday afternoon at 5:30 after that walking tour time window. And then if you're not in till Friday, we do it in the first time slot on Friday at 10 a.m. We'll do another Q&A. And those both of those tend to fill whatever room we're in as well, because folks just want to figure out what they're going to do.
Yeah, because now it's not just 5 hotels. It's 5 hotels and America's Mart.
And America's Mart, yeah,
America.
For the vending.
Yep. Yeah. And yep. A lot of people, I think, it's funny because even I know somebody who went last year because they were wondering what was going to be new with the went on a newbie tour, even though they weren't a newbie, because they wanted to hear early what was going to be going on with the vendors and mm-hmm. how what floors and all of that. So they were like, yeah, I walked on the newbie tour. I'm like, well, there you go. Now you know. So, hey. Yeah. So it was that's kind of interesting to see that, you know, it's like, yeah, because this is, you know, you're going to, this is good. And it helps people. It's a huge con, folks.
Yeah.
It's a huge con. And even if you have a map, you're going to get lost. It's okay.
It happens. We expect it. We know it.
Many of us have looked around and gone, okay, wait, which hotel am I
Where
in?
Am I?
And which? Okay, that's that really hideous carpet. Okay, then I'm in
Well, that hideous carpet's gone now, though, isn't it?
Oh, no, there's a new hideous carpet at the Marriott.
Yeah, we can always find something.
It, but there's a pretty hideous... Honestly, it just looks like a baby had an accident. It's really bad carpet. a lot of babies had a lot of accidents. It's terrible. But yeah, no. So, I mean, we've all done it. Do not feel silly because you have. It happens all the time. So, no, I mean, I think that's a big help to walk people around.
It's also great, too, because a good part of it, certainly in the Facebook group year-round, and then also at the newbie events, is for a lot of folks, when they're coming for the first time, they may or may not be coming with, you know, by themselves, maybe one or two other people. So this is a great way to meet other newbies. You know, we all like to kind of be with someone we feel we're familiar with. And until they come to Con and realize that, you know, we are all awesome and this is a wonderful community, it's great that they go, okay, I'm not the only new person. Nobody likes to be the new person at anything. So this is a great way to maybe find some other folks who are kind of in a similar spot. You can kind of help each other out, maybe take a look at a schedule and see what you're interested in and then find some events to go hang at.
It's cool.
Amazing.
So you personally last year was around the newbies thing. Was there a question that was asked that just kind of you went, what?
As you both know, and as many of the longtime attendees know, none of us can claim to know everything about Con. So we always say we maybe actually now sometimes it's probably may not have the answer, but we'll probably be able to point you in a direction. So I don't think if there was anything specific last year that was like, oh, haven't heard that one before. But as you know, since Con is always evolving, new tracks, some tracks that are being retired, merging in different places, the information's always changing. So, but it's normally the same type of things about understanding, you know, how Con runs and how to be able to do things. I won't say we've heard it all, but we've usually got a pretty good feel for where it's going in terms of people asking about certain things.
Well, let me ask you, what is the most common question that you get?
Common question, when's the schedule going to be out?
I knew it was coming.
We have
up.
A drinking game going. How early in the day? We'll get that every day. I mean,
I saw one already. I saw one on one of the sites, and it was like, and they already said drink because somebody's like, I can't find when Karen Gillian is going to be signing. Yeah.
I saw someone say, I download the app and it's not, there's nothing on it. It's
like, there's nothing on the app yet.
First of all, you got last year's app. Second of all,
Yeah,
it is going to be updated, though. My understanding is you just have to have last year's app, and it's going to be updated, so you don't have to download a new one. Yeah, so.
Yeah. But no, I mean, the schedule's usually big. It's also autographs and photos are a big question. Understanding what the parties are. Do things cost extra? You know, almost I can't believe I'm going to get all this awesomeness for the one, you know, membership price. Sometimes people think other events will cost a little more. So that's, you know, understanding that approach to it. And also for folks who've been to some of the configure conventions like San Diego Comic Con is, you know, how early can I line up for that Karen Gillan panel and other things like that. So we've got a lot of education to go in there too, to the Dragon Con way.
Well, and I think that is a big one because a lot of people, I mean, I know a lot of people who've come to Dragon Con, well, if they've gone to SDCC or to New York Comic Con, they're like, oh, is it like this? No. Because I think one of the biggest things that what I hear is a lot of people who go from smaller cons to Dragon Con are just like, how do y'all do this? And how do you do this? And where, you know, how do you do the vendor's room and things like that? Because they're not, it is hard to understand the size until you're in the middle of it, I think. And I've been doing this now 20 years, so I've seen it grow up in size a lot of ways. First year I came, as I've said, it was only in one hotel, and that was everything was in one hotel. So, you know, it's different, and I think that's really neat. And it really does. People are like, huh, so this is how it works. That's how it works right now. Next year might be a little different, but yeah. So I think that's a really big thing, too, is seeing people who've been like, I've never been to a con this big. Well, every year I say that because every year we get bigger, but yeah, no, I mean, I think that is a big part of it and seeing what, seeing the differences in the Dragon Con way. And I don't mean that in a negative. I mean, it's a very different con than some, as you were talking about the parties. I think, do you get a lot of questions about the 24/7 nature of Dragon Con or 24/4, excuse me, 24/4.
Shut up, John.
That was an oops.
Please, linking information. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because for some folks, yes, because a good focus of why they come is very much for the social side of the parties. But for some other folks, they're also a little lost or not sure that they think, like some of these other cons that happen in convention centers, that things are going to like shut down at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
So getting across the nature that, oh no, there's going to be discussion panels, Q&As going until, you know, close to midnight and parties until the sun comes up. So that's why the pace yourself thing. It's not like you can just go crazy all day long and then you've got all evening to relax. I mean, there isn't a relaxed time once Friday morning hits.
If you had one tip to give someone besides the pace yourself, what would it be for someone going to Dragon Con for the first time?
Well, it's actually two things that are related. And it's because of the nature of the five hotels approach is comfortable mm-hmm. shoes. You are going to be standing and walking a lot. And let's face it, many of us geeks, myself included, are not in the best of shape. So, you know, you're and it's Atlanta. It's, you know, 110% humidity if you're outdoors moving around. So you really do have to be prepping yourself for a lot more physicality than you might have thought going in. I mean, mm-hmm. some of the folks I know that have Fitbits that are similar to me in terms of doing a lot of different panels and yep. moving around tell me that over the course of the 4 days, they'll walk easily 25 to 35 miles.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, think about that, folks. You're not going to just one hotel with a couple of ballrooms. You're going to need, if you want to sample content in all the different hotels, and maybe you choose not to, that's fine too. But if you are, the physicality of moving between these things is really going to take its toll if you're not aware of that going in. And the party nature is, you know, you're probably going to stay up much later than you might normally, drink a little more than you might, and your body might not react well to that.
Yes. And do remember, if you are going to do that, please put on the back of your badge. If you have a, this is always something we say, Lee's little tip. If you have a condition that we need to maybe know about, like you're diabetic, let us know. Yes. We have disability services. John and I are going to talk to them later, but also just, you can get a little piece of, you know, the little white stick'em notes, which you put on file folders or whatever. Write it down, something like that, because trust me, we want to help you, but we don't always know. And so, yeah. Sorry, that's Lee's little tip. Sorry. But, yeah, no, nope, it's good. It's good to know. I was curious. I'm just kind of curious, what afterwards, after con, do you hear from people who said, no matter how much you explained it to me, I never really thought X would happen. And I X can be anything from seeing somebody in duct tape as a costume after 10 p.m. or something else. So, I mean, have you ever had that kind of thing? People just been like, no matter how much you told me, I just still didn't believe it.
Oh, it's a regular thing. And it's for all of those things, too. It's either you said I do a lot of walking. I had no idea. You said there'd be 30 things to pick from every day and every hour. There were the guests, you know, we all know from many years at con how comfortable these folks are just hanging at the con.
Mm-hmm.
There's not an arm's length situation here. They appreciate that we appreciate them and, let them be themselves so that they get to really feel like it's part of the event instead of them on the ivory tower up there on the big stage sometimes. So they just sometimes don't realize how many of the guests will just be, you know, elbow to elbow with them at a bar or at karaoke or something yep. else that's going on. So yeah. That creates a great community feel for it. But it's all those things depending on the person.
Yeah, that's always good.
Yeah, it's a big part of it. And actually, one thing you mentioned a little earlier that's mm-hmm. interesting, obviously, since we're looking at it from the newbie side in terms of thinking that, you know, hasn't everybody heard about con or just about everybody by this point? The con has done such a great job with guests. Bringing them in. Like, for example, this year, I'm very immersed in the Winona Earp fandom.
Okay.
And we're going to have, like, almost the entire cast there this year.
Yeah.
So we have got hundreds, I know from talking to them, hundreds of Earpers, as they're called, fans of the show, coming in just to see the cast. So they're all brand new to Dragon Con. I know there's some Lucifer guests this year.
There are three right now. Right now, there are three. I'm a huge Lucifer fan.
So there we go. I mean, there's shows and movies that are bringing people in that may not have been here before. And that's the, as we say, that's the taste of, you know, well, I'm only going because I really want to see these people from that show. And that's, I mean, say, great, plan to do that. But as soon as they get here, almost all of them are like, oh, look at all this other fun stuff to do. So it's usually some entry point like that that'll get them coming in is you know, that one or two topic thing that the con's doing a great job of bringing people in.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, I do. I like that. I think, do you have, I know so many people know Dragon Con, either because we do have the fan panels and things like that, but we also are really known for the costuming. So how do people start asking you about the cosplay / costuming part, and how do you guys reference them to make sure they get the best information?
Well, a great thing in the newbie group, certainly in Facebook, is yes, there's lots of us there who can answer questions, but oftentimes it's pointing to other resources. And as you folks know, lots of other groups, Facebook groups or websites have grown up over the years that have much more detailed information that we'll have a claim to have on the newbie group. So sometimes it's just pointing them to that. So you get the folks who are asking, there was a thread the other day about I'm flying and I've got a big prop that goes with my thing. You know, what's everybody's experience with at the airport or a hotel? Can I check that in early? And, you know, how do I deal with some of those things if I have problems at con with my costume and such? So sometimes it's just letting them know that that is such a big part of con that, you know, they're going to be in good hands. They're going to have a lot of other folks similar to themselves there that will be able to help out. And visually, that's where oftentimes when folks will ask me, it's funny, someone will think, okay, I've kind of heard of it, but do you have something just to give me a feel for it? And we know the 4 days at Dragon Con PBS documentary is wonderful, but it's close to an hour long. Most folks won't watch an hour's worth. So usually I'll give them one or two YouTube videos, including one of the great cosplay ones, just to show them you're going to get this everywhere at the con just while you're walking around doing something else. And they're like, oh, there isn't like a costume only on Saturday night in this one place. They're like, no, this is everywhere all the time. And that's what kind of blows them away, the detail, the variety. It's not just the biggest movie. And this is no knock on San Diego Comic-Con or New York Comic-Cons or any of those other larger, more corporate ones. But they tend to focus on the now, you know, what movie is coming out next week or in the next couple of months, which show is premiering. Whereas we know Dragon Con goes back 40-plus years in things that we all love. So you're going to see cosplay from movies from the 70s, TV shows from the 70s. Commercials flow from the insurance. I mean, you're going to see everything that you ever imagined all in one place.
Yeah, it is amazing. And I think what's also really funny is I know so many people sometimes will be like, well, I'm only coming for this. I'm only coming for this. And then get all upset when that cancels or that changes, whether it's a band, whether it's an actor, whether it's who knows. I mean, it can be anything, right? Mm-hmm. And I always just want to look at people and go, dude, if you were only coming for one thing, you were doing this wrong.
Yep,
we're not.
That's what we try to tell them.
Yeah, we try to tell them that. And I think you guys do a very good job of that, I know. But I think that's also one of the things, too, with newbies is they're always like, well, I really, really want to see this. Okay. Yeah. That's one of the things about prioritizing, because it is hysterical to see people. And my husband does it on the app. He'll have like 3 or 4 things down at a time. You know, because he's like, well, I go there, that room's full. Or I'm just like, you know what? I just cannot do the walk from the Hilton to the Sheraton right now. What else can I go to over here? You know, a lot of people do that. And I think I know you guys give them that tip as well. Just be flexible, people.
Yeah. And that's perfect, because that is one of the things that they often don't think about, Lee, is, you know, they'll put the 3 or 4 or 5 things they want to do, but we'll tell them, make sure when you're looking at it, to know where it is, because especially come Sunday, probably of your first con, Sunday afternoon is when you start to see the glassy eyes rolling back in their head. You're not going to make that walk. You're not going to want to. So look and see what's maybe a little closer. You know, maybe do something like that. If you found by then a track that you just love most of their content, well, maybe you're going to hang close to their room for a day or so, just to kind of recharge your batteries and do it that way. So distance is something that they don't tend to think about again, because they don't think about. In fact, it's 5 hotels. Yes, 3 of them are connected by indoor walkways. The others are only a block or two, but it's still, when you're making that walk.
It's hot in the summer,
Oh, it's hot. It's damn hot.
And it's not a dry heat, folks, if you're newbies, okay? This is muggy. Take a breath and you're sweating. Yeah, that's, we want to make sure you're aware that's what you're going to end up with.
And it's also Atlanta, and it does rain. So it's rain or shine, folks.
Afternoon thunderstorms. Yep.
Afternoon thunderstorms. Be ready. And, we'll have them. We're a lot like Florida here, especially come late August and early September. We have one a day. Be ready. It's not, it doesn't go away. Be ready. Have your umbrella or your little poncho or whatever and be ready. But, it's awesome. But be ready, because rain or shine, it's going on. And everybody all the time asks this, and I've asked Jan the question. The one question I want to say is everybody's like, so if it rains, would the parade be canceled? And our answer is only if it would pose a threat to people marching or watching, i.e. lots of lightning. Okay, so just watch. Dragon Con will put it out if there is something like that. But we've been very, I'm knocking on a lot of wood right now. Mm-hmm. We've been very lucky over the years.
Very lucky. Mm-hmm. Yep,
yeah,
it is.
And it's the fact that the parade's first thing in the morning, too, for our southern states here, that's a benefit because it usually doesn't, storms don't kick up until the middle of the day when the heat sort of, you know, science mm-hmm. has happened. That is a question that's always asked of Jan, and we always ask her too when we talk to her here on the podcast.
Always, yes.
So last year, what did you do personally, and how was your con last year from a panel and a guest perspective?
As corny as it sounds, and people roll their eyes, I continue to have more fun year after year mm-hmm. because for me, it's very much the interaction with other fans. I usually see a couple of guests. I'm not a big, see guest Q&A panels. I tend to not only be on, but also attend the fan discussion panels for the great chance for the conversation. So, yeah, it was another great one there. I tend to, as an attending professional, I speak on a lot of the panels, so I have a very go, go, go kind of schedule, but I love it that way. It's a lot of fun. Makes for a challenge moving back and forth and getting to these panels to be able to do them and meeting some new people as it happens. So same kind of thing happened last year. Some great new folks that are now big friends that I just had met for the first time last year. And I continue to be amazed and so appreciative of folks like you, Lee, and all the other track directors and the volunteers who give so, so much time to make this all happen.
Oh, thank you. We love it. We do love it, guys. We're very exhausted by the end, and we sometimes look exhausted during, but we do love it.
Well, you get paid millions of dollars to do it, so you should love it.
Right. You know, that I am just rolling in that. Yeah, no. Guys, volunteers don't get paid. John's making a very bad joke.
What are you doing this year for con as an intended professional? I know that you have stuff that you do with Classic Sci-Fi, and I saw that you guys announced what your movie was going to be this year. Well, explain to everybody who hasn't heard before what it is that you do.
Sure. Now going back 6-7 years, I suggested an idea to Kelly in the American Sci-Fi and Fantasy Media Track, a friend and another very hardworking track director, the idea of screening a quote-unquote bad B movie to mm-hmm. make a community idea of watching a film. Kelly wasn't sure it made the most sense, but, she trusted me. I've done some speaking with her before, and she said, okay, let's give it a shot and see what happens. So we screened Sharktopus mm-hmm. from the Sci-Fi Channel.
Great movie.
Filled the room, standing room only.
Relative, but go on.
Great movie.
And myself and Joe Crow kind of do the MST3K thing a little bit. I mean, we're not going to claim to be as funny as those guys, but we very much tell people, come to see these films, cheer the heroes, boo the bad guys, throw out some lines that are funnier than our stuff, and just do it as a community. So we've been doing that now on Friday night for the last, 6 or 7 years. We just announced our film this year we're going to do is called The Time Guardian. It's a film from 1987. Exactly high profile.
Awesome. That sounds and just, the it, title is already great. Yes.
It steals from, well, I should say it's an homage to many sci-fi films. You'll look at scenes and go, oh, I saw that in this, I saw that in that, and so forth. But we've got Dean Stockwell looking like he was there for the paycheck, looking very serious. It's also got Carrie Fisher in a supporting role. And it's all kinds of fun bad in terms of the dialogue and some of the scenes and stuff. So we'll be there to have a good time, encourage you to come along and be a part of it. Folks have a lot of fun. We usually get a bunch of DVDs to give away. These are not Oscar-winning films that we give away, by the way. They're very similar in tone to the ones we screen. So some folks win the prize and go, yay, can I get rid of this? So we have fun with that too. I mean, Joe and I have a blast kind of doing that every year. So we're looking forward to it again this year.
And what panels are you going to be on this year that you know of so far? I know that it's sort of still a little, even even though we're, you know, under two months out, it's still a little soon for the panels. But what panels do you think you'll be covering this year?
Yeah, I've expressed interest to several track directors on several of them. And as we know, it'll all come down to how the schedule breaks. Sometimes I end up getting to do a lot of them, and sometimes you end up with just the schedule puts them against each other, and I have to make a tough choice. But some of the topics I'm likely to be speaking on, Winona Earp, as I mentioned, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, iZombie, Lucifer, Killjoys,
Into the
Badlands, a few other type ones that might be in there. Again, depending on how the schedule breaks.
Cool. So what other places can folks find you besides DragonCon? Where else can they find you?
My genre TV stuff, podcasting-wise and all, can be found at tuningintosci-fi.tv.com. That's where we do our weekly podcasts, covering things there. The DragonCon stuff, if you are new or newish and want to learn a little more, I set up a simple website that links to a lot of the resources, including our Facebook group and other things. If you just go to DragonConNewbies.org, you'll find a lot of the links to some of these resources to be able to learn some more and get the most out of con.
That was DragonCon Newbies, right? Plural?
Plural.
How do you spell newbies? Let me ask you how you spell newbies.
Are they new
buzzers?
Yes. But you can also, as you, I think, said a little earlier, too, the great thing about Facebook, if you're on Facebook, if you do the search there for DragonCon Newbies, our group or page will pop up pretty quick now since it's got such a good following in it. So it's a great way to find it. And the folks at the official con site, again, are wonderful. They often mention us and refer folks our way, even though technically we're not officially a part of the con. But we're an example of why the con is awesome, very honestly, if I can say so, because it's us wanting to make sure that everybody gets the most out of con. So it's other people, congoers, helping each other.
Well, it's very much in the spirit of Dragon Con, of course, which is that, you know, it is a fan-run convention. There are a handful of people that actually have this as their job, but the reality is that the whole thing is run by fans. You know, and as everyone knows, this isn't an official Dragon Con podcast either, but it's because of our love for the con that we do it every year, so...
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because with some of the newbies, we definitely recommend your podcasts because they're great, and I listen to them every year, too. And it's funny, some folks have said, well, I probably only have to listen that first year. I go, no, I'm learning stuff every year when I listen because things change, track directors change approaches, there's new ways to do things. So if you're going to come back, you're going to want to keep listening. You guys do a wonderful job talking to a lot of the people that make it happen. So it's a great way for all of us to stay on our toes.
And I know it's early, but is there anything, anyone that's coming this year that you would really like to see? I know, that, again, it's really early to be asking that question. And I know that you're not big on seeing guests. Much like me, you're like more there for the fans. But if there's somebody there that's coming this year, is there anybody that tickles your fancy?
Well, again, since I do a Winona Earp podcast and have really gotten to be friends with some of the cast, I'm looking forward to seeing all of them there. That's certainly going to be wonderful. The fans are as well. But as Lee and I have been kind of squeeing over, I'm very excited for the Lucifer cast. That's such a fun show.
It's such a fun show. I that show is absolutely insane, and it hasn't stopped being insane, and I love it I love it. It's a lot like first season Sleepy Hollow, if you haven't watched. It's awesome.
Yes, that same kind of way. That's just
that
total
same
chemistry and energy.
Oh, yeah.
But not
no
like
idea
the
what's
last season
happen.
Of Sleepy Hollow, though.
No, not like the last two
first
seasons.
First season.
I will say
first
only
season.
The first season
qualified.
Of Sleepy Hollow. Yeah, there wasn't anything qualified. After that. Just forget anything else.
No, there was some fun stuff,
well,
but nowhere near.
Yeah, we did have. Yeah, you did have John Noble in season two. So I do have to give him that. But
And it was great a couple of years ago when we had most of the cast of Sleepy Hollow there.
Yes.
All the leads. And that was a wonderful couple of panels they did. That's another example.
Awesome.
They were awesome.
And we found out that people can get lost in Atlanta even if they live here, which was why a couple people were late for panels because they were like, no, I'm just coming from my house. Well, they got lost and didn't find parking. Yay, welcome to Dragon. So, there you go. That happens, folks. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I guess I'm so excited about Lucifer. My husband already knew it, and he's like, yep, and you know you won't be able to see him. I'm like, yeah, I know. That's why we have the streaming thing. I can see it afterwards. I'll be good. We'll get the streaming. We're all good. I'll be all right.
Maybe someday that schedule will fall just right, Lisa.
No. I, you know what? Yeah. I've still never seen a Stargate panel with Shepherd on it. So that says something. Yeah, there you go. He's come a lot. Joe's come a lot, and I've never seen one. Mm. Says a lot about life of a director, guys.
That's right.
It's fun.
Hours and hours.
Awesome. Wow, it's so much fun. No, I'm joking. It is a lot of fun, but I don't. Yeah, I see panels just like, I think, who is it? Regina every year says, yep, I see the first 5 minutes, maybe the last 5 minutes.
5 minutes, yep.
Yeah, Dragon Con TV and Dragon Con streaming, my favorite thing in the world. Yep, there you go. So cool. Sorry.
So, we're off topic. So Kevin, as has been our want lately, or the last several years, we like to end as with a game with our guests, and we like to torture Lee is really what this is about.
Because really, John enjoys torturing me.
And just I apologize, by the way, I meant to mention this to you before, but if my sound is like really hollow, it's because most of this room is now empty. It's no longer absorbent to the sound because I'm in the process of moving. Of course, I have to move in the middle of doing 50 Days Dragon Con.
Con season?
Yeah, con season. So, but, you know, we sold our house, so yay, good thing.
Yay! We sold the house. Yes, go with yay, we sold the house.
But this year, we are doing a little contest where I'm going to give you a topic, and we're going to bounce back and forth, and you have to give me an answer to that fits that topic. Mm. So, for example, if I was to say Superman villains, you would say, Kevin?
Venom?
Superman villains.
Oh, Superman. I'm thinking I was watching Spider-Man. Superman.
Lex Luthor.
Thank you, Lex.
And Lee would say?
Doomsday.
Doomsday. So, and then we just keep going back
and
forth.
And then I'd be done because those are the only two I know.
Until either one of you hits 10 points or one of you just can't answer. It's sort of a rapid fire thing, back and forth. So, and then we'll score. We'll do three rounds of that. And then whoever, Kevin, wins at the end, Kevin. And we'll be crowned the winner.
Only if you've loaded the topics, John. You did get my honorarium. Right?
Yeah, he did. Yes. Trust me, he's loading them all.
All right, so we'll start with you, Kevin. You get to pick the first topic. I'm going to give you three to choose from. Superheroes, Sesame Street, or Olympic events?
Superheroes.
Okay. So name superheroes that wear primarily green as their costume color. And we'll start with you, Kevin.
Green Lantern.
Lee.
Arrow. Green Arrow.
Okay. We'll give you Arrow. Kevin.
Oh my goodness. Going to fail horribly.
I'm going to have to buzz you. I'm sorry. Lee, do you have one?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm going to debate that. That's not his costume.
You sure?
I'm positive that's not his costume.
It's better than my answer though, so.
All right, that's fine.
All right, so both of you only get 1 point for that round.
Okay. Yay! I like this game.
All right. Lee, let's see. You got Sesame Street, Olympic events, or Dungeons and Dragons.
I will take Sesame Street.
Okay.
For everything. Yeah.
Characters from Sesame Street. We start with Lee this time. Lee.
Big Bird.
Kevin.
Cookie Monster.
Lee.
Snuffleupagus.
Kevin.
What's the... the vampire. The count. The count?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lee.
That's really his name?
Yes.
I'll say Bert.
Lee. Kevin?
Ernie.
Okay, good job. Lee.
I'll say Elmo.
Kevin?
Grover. Damn it. Grover.
Grover?
Oh, yeah, Lee.
Please get them all memorized.
I will say Oscar the Grouch.
Kevin?
Snuffleupagus?
I already said Snuffleupagus. He is a guest this year, by the way.
Yes, he is.
The puppeteer guy for him. All right, I got to buzz you, Kevin. Lee, you got one more?
I don't have any.
Actually, you don't have to have one more because you already have one.
I don't have to. All right.
So we got four for Kevin. And
I was trying to give you another one. I was pretty much done. Sorry.
Lee gets.
Yeah. No, you did great. You kept me alive.
All right. All right, so Kevin, you get the get to pick the last topic here. Dungeons and Dragons, Olympic events, or intergalactic spacefaring civilizations.
What?
I'll go D&D. Let's see what happens.
All right. So D&D,
well, you won that one.
Is
it's been 30 years, Lee, so don't give it to me yet.
Dungeons and Dragons character races. Character races.
Elf.
Elf, okay. Lee.
Orc.
Sure. Kevin.
Fighter?
That's a class.
Wizard?
That's again a class.
Jesus.
Dwarf? Yeah, dwarf. Hey, how about that? Lee.
He follows in the back and he helps everybody. It's called splash damage, you crybabies. The guy, the mage.
I'm going to have to buzz you on that. You took too long to even try to give me an answer.
Okay.
All right, so Kevin gets 4 points for it, being the last one with two. So and then one. Oops.
Carry the
Kevin
seven.
Wins.
One. Oh, yes, he does. Kevin wins. The final scores are 9-8.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
But we got to put a star on that one.
Actually, hold on.
Lee fed me a lot of answers.
Someone just pointed something out to me. I actually shorted Lee a point on the second round. It's actually
whoever just pointed. Thank you, small child that likes Lee.
It's paying better attention than the
three of us. It's a tie. You know, because you get 2 points if you're. I forgot to mention this. You get 2 points if you're the last one standing. Bonus points. So she should have gotten seven instead of six. Because I only get.
So do we have to thumb wrestle?
Thank you, small child.
All right. So for the tiebreaker, Kevin, tell us where the websites are that you currently send your podcast to. I mean, where can people find you on the web? Is basically what I'm saying.
Okay, thank you. That was too simple. tuning into scifitv.com.
Right. And Lee, where can the people find Kevin besides that?
At the Unique Geek on 50
Days.
I'm
sorry.
Because he did it last year and this year.
That's not an acceptable answer. So Kevin wins with a score of 10-9.
Kevin wins! I hate you so much, John.
All right, so
taking one for the team.
Tuning into Sci-Fi TV, of course.
I can take 50 for the team.
That's right, 50 plus.
Also on the Facebook group. The Facebook group, again, is Dragon Con Newbies. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. Newbies!
And so, yeah. That's that.
And the link on the Unique Geek will have all these links. Right. So and, you don't have to write them all down. It'll all be there.
Are you big on the Twitter or any place else?
Yes, I am on the Twitter at first initial K, last name Batchelder. If you want to find me there, talking about genre TV stuff and on the Facebooks. But best in the groups. Let's face it. I'll be around the Dragon Con groups. That's usually where I spend most of my time.
That's great. All right. So until next time, for Kevin and Lee, this is John saying peace.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.